Thank you, Pastor Bruce, for allowing us to come and share in this men's retreat. I am honored. I am excited to be here with you, brothers, to be in this second men's retreat that we've been a part of. And I am grateful for you calling us together as men of faith to address this important issue. Weren't we blessed by the word that he gave previously? Amen. Thank you so very much for that impactful word that you've already given to us on tonight. My opinion, I also want to say thanks to some of the brothers from New St. Hurricane that came down with us today. Thank you, brothers. So glad to have you all with us. There is no question that the church needs to do substantially more, I think, to address this insidious sin of racism. And I'm grateful for you calling us together to have this conference to think about and reflect over the godly man's response to racial tension. Recent distressing manifestations of racism in our nation should be of deep concern to every person who is committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Pastor Bruce has already stated, that gospel transcends barriers of race and class. When we fail to reach out to all races with the love of Jesus Christ, it constitutes, in my opinion, the rejection of God's will and brings scandal to the very gospel that we profess to proclaim and uphold. You would think that after all of this time, we would have reached a better place in society where there would be true and equal opportunity for all people, that we would be experiencing fairness in our society between all races, but we are not. We're at a unique moment, I think, in history in this 50th year since the assassination of Martin Luther King. Some would argue that our nation now is more racially divided than we have been in decades. I think we can agree that race relations have come a long way in the last 50 years, but things are not where they should be. And I think we can agree that while they have gotten better, that racism still does exist. We're at a crossroads in our nation right now. According to Jonathan Greenblatt, who is the director of the Anti-Defamation League, he said these words, "Something wrong is happening across our country. There is a wave of hate that seems to be rising up. There are manifestations of hate in schools and businesses and communities. What do we do as we survey the landscape of what's taking place? As I look around our country, on one side, we have young people that are fascinated with justice, but they have not met the author of righteousness. They're trying to get justice on the streets without understanding the righteousness that is often taught in our churches. But then on the other side, you have churches that are preaching righteousness without ever fighting for or speaking up for justice. Both sides are wrong. Children of God, understand that justice and righteousness are really the same word. That if we seek righteousness, we must also seek justice. That righteousness is the foundation. And if you have an allegiance to righteousness, then you have a responsibility to also be just. It is the ideal that all people should be treated fairly, and only the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ can really do this. When you consider the gospel message, particularly found in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read verse 1 through 10. as we again consider our response to racial tension, the godly man's response. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ." My brothers and my sisters, when we think about my brothers, rather, used to preach it on Sunday, brothers and sisters, but my brothers, when we think about the godly man's response, I would argue that first and foremost, we've got to remember who we once were. When we think about the godly man's response to racial tension, we've got to remember who we once were. We were once dead in our trespasses. In our past condition, we were without life. We were spiritually dead because of sin. But not only were we once dead in our trespasses, we were once disobedient. There was a time in our lives when we were totally disobedient to God. We walked contrary to his will. We were influenced by the ways of the world. We had no strength to resist the power and the temptation of the world. We were dead. We were disobedient. But the text also says we were depraved, corrupt, immoral. We operated by the opinions of the world, the pleasures of the world, the selfishness of the world, the purposes of the world, the values of the world, the standards of the world. But in verses 4-7, something happened in our life and we were delivered. The text says we were delivered through Christ because of God's abundant mercy and his great love. We were delivered from a life of death and disobedience and depravity by the mercies of God. By his mercy, when he looked at us, he withheld judgment. He provided a way for us to be saved through his love. Through his love. He loved us even though we didn't deserve to be loved. He loves us even though we were completely unworthy of his love. It was a love that compelled him to sacrifice himself even for his enemies. So I think we start there. We start by remembering who we once were. But then we not only remember who we once were, we shift now to remembering who we are. And that's found in verses 11 through 22. It says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You lived without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. We take time to remember who we once were. And now this text reminds us who we are. It reminds us first and foremost that we as brothers are united to God. But that's not all God does in the gospel. Paul goes on to say that this includes reconciliation of Jews and Gentiles into one new humanity. Paul says that the Gentiles who were far off, far away, have been brought near. They were brought near to God's promises of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel, brothers, is this, that Jesus, a Jewish Messiah, died so that he would put an end to the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, to reconcile Jews and Gentiles to God and to each other into one body through the cross, which made both groups into one dwelling place of God by the Spirit. Now, that is the crux of our message, the summation of where we want to focus in on. The implication of the text is this: Christ, through his blood, united all Christians together of every ethnicity and race. He removed ethnicity and race as a barrier. Through Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to God. You see, my brothers, the cross of Christ is God's weapon for breaking down barriers between God and man, and also between man and man. Here's the reality. The ground at the cross is level ground. And so we as men, all men, can approach God on the same basis, on equal footing, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We build all kinds of barriers, don't we? We put up all kinds of walls. We build all kinds of barriers. We have all kinds of prejudices and hatred against other people. Society is plagued with barriers all around it. Race, color, organization, appearance, health, wealth, position, morality, dress, American, non-American. We put up all kinds of barriers, but Christ says, I'm now done away with barriers. I have broken all the barriers. I've torn down all the walls. I've torn down all the prejudices. And Christ brings peace, he says, by creating not white men or black men or Asian men or Hispanic men, but a new man. He said, we are a new man. And this new man has a new mode of operation. This new man operates in another way. This new man does not walk or operate in hate. This new man tears down barriers. This new man operates in a spirit of love. Because this new man recognizes something: that lovelessness is godlessness. That you can't only love certain people and say that you love God. To know that we are not children of God apart from loving one another. So we have to remember where we once were. How can I look down on somebody else when we were all in the same boat. We were all dead. We were all deprived. We were all dead in our trespasses, operating and living life in sin. Remember where you once were, and remember now where you are at the foot of the cross, where Jesus has torn down barriers. Remember that God, that Christ has connected us back to God, and He's connected us to each other. So then, that's really all I came to say. And I wanna leave you kind of with this. When we think about where we are, where we were, where we are now, what our relationship is to God and what our responsibility is to man, I think the question becomes for me, what practical steps then can I take to walk in that reconciliation? What practical steps can I take to walk in this newness of life that I'm operating in? That if He's broken down barriers, if He's torn down all of the walls, and we now see each other through a different lens, and that through eyes of love and compassion, how then, or what practical steps can I take to walk in that reconciliation? And I have a few things that I want to submit to you, and I'll leave you with that. First and foremost, I think that we've got to come to an awareness and a recognition that you're not always right. I'm not always right. In essence, I've got to learn how to humble myself. I think Pastor Bruce has said it numerous times through the course of his message, that if I come to the realization that I am not always right, and I can humble myself, then it means that I seek to understand rather than jump into conclusions. I seek to understand other people, and I try to learn about their experiences. Ignorance about the realities facing ethnic minorities serves as one of the most challenging barriers to productive dialogue. So we've got to come to an awareness that I'm not always right. I've got to learn how to humble myself and seek to understand other people. The second thing that I would submit to you is this. And Pastor Bruce, I think, said it. I don't know how he got my notes. I didn't send them to him. But you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That means that since He's broken down barriers, I learned how to be comfortable and embrace the R word. Racism. I heard somebody say the other day, we were having this conversation I was talking about coming up here, and they say, well, you know, brother, race is not the problem, sin is. Yes, sin is the problem. But what I told him is, racism and sin are not mutually exclusive. Why is it that we can name other sins? We can name other sins like lying, greed, and stealing. We name other sins, lust. Here's why. Because we recognize that different sins call for a different response. Amen. Different sins call for a different response. And when we avoid critically engaging the issue of race, whether in our preaching, whether in our conversations, when we avoid having honest and open discussions about it with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are different from us, when we treat it as if it doesn't exist, when we want to take it and sweep it under a rug, we fail to hear what God might be calling us to do specifically in response to that. So be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I would also argue this, and I'll be done. I'll donate some of my time back, Brother Bruce. Knowing that I am a new man in Christ, hearing what Pastor Bruce talked about with hospitality and love and compassion, this struck me that reconciliation means caring about people and the situations that they're in. How can I weep with you and rejoice with you, as what Roman calls us to do, if I don't care about you or the situation that you're going through? Or if I treat your situation as minuscule? If it hurts you, I need to seek to understand, and I need to care about you, and it means caring about the situations you're in. It means that we've got to take notice of each other. It means that you got to notice how black and brown youth are treated and face inequalities and education and employment and the justice system, the plight that fails to generate the same level of righteous indignation is the plight of other people. We get angry and upset about so many things, but we don't have the same type of indignation when it comes to people of other races experiencing the harshness of life. So we've got to learn to care about people and situations outside of us. Boldly press the claims of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a racist society. I think that's the last thing that I want to tell you. Don't be scared. If you are a man of God, let's man up. Let's be the men who God has called us to be, the change agents that God has called us to be, and let's boldly press the claims of the Christian gospel into a sinful society and uphold the banner of Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. I think that's all I want to tell you. Remember where you once were. That helps keeps me grounded. Keeps me from looking down on anybody else. It keeps me from getting filled with pride and thinking that I'm better than somebody else. Derek, look in the mirror, read the word, and remember who you once were. Think about who you are now. You are connected to God, and you are connected to your fellow man. And through your relationship, there are no more barriers. And then we begin to walk in the reality and the newness of that. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for allowing me to come and share my conviction. I appreciate it.